You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? And happy draft week. Eddie Pascal here in a cloudy, overcast, but I guess some people enjoy this type of weather. Henderson, Nevada. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And it is here. Draft week, baby. We have done it. The long, long, arduous, painful offseason has come to a close, kinda, for now. And in just a few days' time, the newest crop of Las Vegas Raiders will officially become members of the Silver and Black. And we have so much to get to over the next, I'm terrible at math, what is it, like 96 hours, something like that? Who knows? Over the next couple days. But to get you guys ready, we are excited about today's episode of the show because, you, as you guys know, it's not Thursday. Usually we come to you guys on Thursdays. Today is Tuesday, and we're getting you ready for the 2021 NFL Draft with our Draft Story Spectacular. So essentially what we are going to do over the next little bit of time, we are going to play two conversations for you, one with Max Crosby and then the second one with Lamar Houston, and those two are essentially just going to tell you everything about when they got drafted. Max a few years ago, and then Lamar back in 2010. And I love these stories. Whether it's Max, whether it's Lamar, Tywan Jones, Raiders legend Tywan Jones, has a great draft story that we'll be able to tell one day once he retires and kind of moves on to that next chapter of his life. But I love hearing these stories because, one, they're just awesome. They're incredible. You get to kind of get a peek at what is arguably one of the most emotionally charged moments of these young men, of these young men's lives. But also, everyone's is just so unique. There is no cookie-cutter draft story. There just isn't. Some guys are on a beach with their family. Some guys are actually at the draft itself, like Lamar, and we'll hear about that in just a little bit. Other guys, like Carl Joseph, comes to mind. He was literally in Haiti with his family. Off the grid, doing his thing, enjoying life, celebrating. Well, like I said, it was a momentous moment in his professional life. But there is no cookie-cutter version. And I love them. I could just do, if my boss said, hey, do a podcast, do this whole season of podcast, and I just want to hear 25 draft stories, I would absolutely love that. I would do it today. Sign me up, and we'll do it in 2022. We will get rocking, we will get rolling, and I will bring you every draft story that I can physically come up with. But today you just get two. But they're two really, really good ones. We're going to kick things off with Max Crosby. And then the closer, Lamar Houston, will bring us home. But before we do that, just a quick reminder to all of you. And I feel like I don't even need to really remind you because you guys are all so locked in. The draft is here. In just a few days' time, the Silver and Black will kick off the 2021 NFL Draft in Cleveland, Ohio, where they will select number 17 overall. And while so much has been made about that number 17 overall pick, and listen, I'm guilty of it too. I'm excited. I cannot wait to see what kind of moves and things happen over the next couple days. Don't sleep on the rest of those picks. The Raiders got 8 picks total. They'll have that one on Thursday night. But that's 7 more picks over the following 48 hours. So we're looking at Friday and Saturday. And it is going to be a blast. And you know we're going to have you guys covered on Raiders.com, in the app, on all of our social and digital properties. You can follow along with us, enjoy the madness that is draft weekend, and get up to date, be educated on the newest members of your Las Vegas Raiders. And I am excited. I am fired up. The energy is high this week. I had a nice leisurely weekend. I told you guys last week I was going to take it easy, kick back, rest the voice. Because we have a lot to get to over the next couple days. And we are going to kick it off with our man, Max Crosby. Max Crosby, the man out of Eastern Michigan University, and has quickly become one of the premier defensive ends in this league. A man who makes life miserable for the opposing quarterback. A man who has really ingrained himself. A man who has become so a fan favorite for the Raider Nation. But before he was all that, he was a college kid with a dream, getting ready to take that next step in his professional career. And then he got the phone call that changed it all. So without further ado, enjoy our story. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Enjoy his story and our conversation with Max Crosby. So you're one of those guys that came out early. So at what point in your kind of season, at what point in your kind of journey to the draft did you decide, hey, this is going to be my final year in college and I'm gonna see what I can do in the pros?
Yeah, you know, for me, going into that last year, I kind of knew before I even played my last season, you know, I kind of already had it made up in my head that it was going to be, you know, my last, you know, last year there, I felt like I maxed out everything, you know, at my school and I was ready to take that next step. Yeah, you know, it was a tough decision. You know, there's a lot of hard conversations you have to have, but, you know, I feel like they supported me and, you know, everything turned out the way I expected it to.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going back to kind of the draft process, and it's crazy to think that you're now going into year three, which makes me feel kind of like an old man a little bit. But when you think back to kind of those months of the season ends, right, and you go fully into the draft process, you're talking to coaches, you're talking to GMs, you're talking to everyone, right? Do you remember talking to Mayock and Coach Gruden at all throughout that process, or did you not talk to them really?
Yeah, it's a funny story. So the whole process, I was talking to a lot of teams, and you know, especially after the combine, you know, the combine went well for me, and that's when it kind of heated up for me. But the Raiders never talked to me one time during the whole pre-draft. So the only type of connection I had with them was my agent. My agent kept telling me, Mayock and Gruden, they love you, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, well, they haven't, you know, I haven't got one call, nothing. So, you know, it was interesting. You know, once draft day came, I trusted my agent and he was telling me they love me. So they had like pick 106 and 109 on day three. So I was like, damn, you know, the Raiders could take me right here. They got two picks. You know, they need pass rushers. So, yeah, you know, it just ended up working out perfect.
Mayock and Gruden, they just didn't want to tip their hand. You know what I mean? They didn't want to even have anyone think that you were on their radar. So it all worked out. But when you go into that weekend, or I guess, you know, that Thursday to Saturday, where did you think that you were going to go? Like, headed into the process, did you have any idea of kind of the ballpark area that you were going to end up?
Yeah, you know, for me, there were some teams that we thought could possibly take me on day two, and then there was a, you know, another handful that wanted, you know, that were had me as a day three guy. So for me, I'm like, I'm optimistic in general, just my personality. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get taken, you know, on day two, blah 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 blah, and you know, I ended up going right in the beginning of day three. So, you know, it was a stressful time. I had two sleepless nights, but you know, it ended up working out the way it was supposed to.
So, like you said, you have a sleepless night on that Friday headed into that Saturday. So when you wake up on Saturday morning, where are you? Like, what are you thinking? Like, where's your headspace at that point?
It was honestly Friday night after it was Minnesota. They had pick 102. It was the last pick of day two. And my agent represented the running back. It was Alexander Mattison who got drafted. So I knew I wasn't that last pick. So I had my whole family, friends in Texas, you know, at my house, and you know, the news people even came to my house and came to record. So like, it was like just the biggest disappointment. And me and my girl, like, she was with me. She's been with me since I haven't, you know, had no sacks in college. So like, she's seen my progression, has been through it, and she's been there every step of the way. So she was just as devastated as me. So like, me and her, I was like, let's just go. Like, so we left the house and I went and got food and stuff. And we're just sitting there, like, I could not sleep that night. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, you never know what can happen on day three. Like, I don't know if I can go early. Like, you never know. So I was worried a little bit, but I remember texting with my agent and texting my dad. I'm like, listen, Oakland has pick 106. I'm telling you, like, I still have the text to this day. It's kind of crazy. And, you know, they ended up taking me. So luckily day three was short. We got it out the way and, you know, we ended up having a blast in my house and my family. So it was a good time.
So you wake up on that Saturday and you, like, it sounds like you kind of knew that, hey, it's not going to be a long wait. Like, I know I'm going to be going at some point, but does that even make the wait any easier? Or are you still just like every pick just scrolling Twitter, like looking at your phone?
For me, it wasn't even like scrolling Twitter, stuff like that. It's just the draft is so unpredictable. So you don't really know what's going to happen. And, you know, not going on day two, which I, you know, initially kind of expected, I was like, damn, I don't know where this is going to go. But, you know, I stayed positive and, you know, I trusted the work that I put in and that somebody would take the chance with me. So, you know, when Gruden called me, it was like the best feeling. I can't even describe it. It was insane.
So we get to pick 106 and at what point, I guess, kind of take me through, like, what is it, that 10-15 minutes prior to the pick going official. So is it one of those things where, like, your agent tips you off? Like, how does that, like, the actual logistics of you getting drafted go?
So my agent wasn't with me. You know, he was in LA and they had like, the agency had their own little party and stuff. So I was just there with my family. And I just knew, he's like, just every team, like the week going into the draft, every team calls you and it's like, well, this is your number, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, on draft day, like they have your number and they'll call straight to your cell. So I was just sitting there with my phone on, just waiting. And it was the Saints on the board and they picked Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Who's played really well so far too. And yeah, I remember the Saints on the board and Gruden, I saw a California number and Gruden calls me and he's like, what's up, man, blah, blah, blah. And I knew right away, I'm like, this is crazy. And then my brother, it's hilarious because my whole family's in the background like trying to figure out who it was. And my brother's yelling, he's like, it's the Saints, he's going to the Saints. And I'm dying laughing. I'm like, no, like it's Oakland, like I'm going to the Raiders. And you know, I ended up talking to everybody on the phone and stuff. And it was hilarious, you know, because everybody was just, you know, they felt bad for me because I was so like ready to just get it over with. And it was awesome.
So did you recognize the area code then when it popped up on your phone? Or did you have to like literally wait until he says, hey, this is John Gruden?
Yeah, I had no idea because I get random calls, you know, all the time. So it was like it said Alameda, California. It was like a 510 number. So initially I was like, the first thing that popped in my head, I'm like, this is the Raiders. And then I heard Gruden's voice and like, he's not like any other coach. Like I've been watching him on Monday Night Football. Like this dude is a legend. So when I heard his voice, I'm like, this is like, it seems like a prank. Like it didn't even seem real. So when he started talking to me and he's like, man, you're number 92. And I'm like, this is crazy. So yeah, it was special.
Do you remember what he told you? I went back and I actually watched the video earlier today of you getting the call. Do you remember what he told you?
Yeah, briefly, you know, I remember he was like, are you that guy, number 92, raising hell, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, you know, we got to get after Mahomes. You got to get after Rivers. And he was like, you know, May, I got on the phone and he was saying, you know, you need to get stronger and all those type of things. And, you know, I feel like looking back at it, it's kind of crazy how everything turned out because I've just been trying to, you know, prove them right, you know, from the day I got there.
The one thing that really caught me, and there's two things. One is like, obviously, such a cool moment for you and your family. You can hear like, you know, you can hear in your voice how emotional you're getting.
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing was, is Gruden comes up to you at one point and he says, you're one of the best sleepers in football. And now fast forward, not even, what is it, 6-8 months, and you're – you know, I'll go to my grave saying this. You should have been the defensive rookie of the year that year. And it's wild to think, though, that in April, Gruden's like, Max Crosby, you are one of the best sleepers in football, and people are going to eventually know who you are.
Yeah, no, it's honestly crazy. But, you know, they saw what, you know, my agent saw and, you know, what I've always believed in. You know, I feel like I produce at a very high level. You know, it doesn't matter where I played, you know, Eastern Michigan, people like to use that as a knock and things of that nature. And for me, I always have been that confident type of person. I've always believed in myself. So I knew when Gruden believed in me, like that gives me strength. I'm like, listen, this dude is picking me where, you know, a lot of people didn't think I would even go. Some teams have me undrafted. Some teams have me seventh round. So I'm like, listen, I'm going to go there. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be the best player I can be. And, you know, I feel like I've been doing that, and I still have a whole another level I can tap into. So I'm fired up. You know, I'm excited.
So you get off the phone with Gruden and Mayock, right? You hang up the phone. Then what happens?
It was just, you know, my mom's side of the family, all European. They're Serbian, Albanian, so they're loud. It's like we're having a blast. Everyone's dancing, music's coming on. And, you know, it was just like, it was amazing. Everybody, like all my best friends from my childhood, like my closest family members, aunts, uncles, everybody that I was really close with was there and got to enjoy that moment with me. And like, that was the first time I seen my dad like break down. Like I've never seen my dad shed a tear in his life. Like me and him had a crazy, like cool moment. And like, he was just proud of me. And like having that stuff, like I'll never forget, because it doesn't matter for me where I got drafted. It's like I see the end picture and where I want to be. So just getting drafted, like that was all I needed. So.
And you'll never forget what number you are either, right? What number you got picked at? You got the tat on you. Yep,
on,
break
man.
It up.
Come on, man.
106.
Right here,
106. Oh, yeah. Never forget. Well, hey, Max, man, I appreciate you making time for us during the offseason. And one of these days, I promise, I'm going to see you in person. I won't have to look at you through a screen. One of these days, it's going to happen.
One of these days, for sure.
And I just, like I told you guys, I love the draft stories, and Max has an incredible one. I do love just the visual, because I think the best part about doing these podcasts is you can get to kind of like paint the picture with your mind about what you think it looks like. And I just love the visual of Max's family, you know, sitting in their house, getting fired up, and then his brother goes, "We're going to New Orleans." It sounds like, oh, we're going to like Mardi Gras, we're doing whatever. And then Max's like, no. I just love that. It's such a moment that you can't replicate, and it's just like, it's very relatable, right? Like, I feel like my brother or my parents would have a moment like that if I were to ever get drafted. So a big shout out to Max, and we thank him for his time. And there's also a video version of Max's draft story on Raiders.com, shameless plug alert. So go check that out. So big thank you to Max. We started with the present, and now we're going to look back to the past with our friend Lamar Houston, originally drafted in 2010 out of the University of Texas, number 44 overall. By that, at that point, the Al Davis-led Oakland Raiders. And Lamar is, actually, quick 30-second aside before we get into this. I will forever appreciate Lamar Houston for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he had a really strong 4 years here when he was with the Raiders. But outside of that, when I think of Lamar, I think it was his final year here, was my intern year. And at that point, and this was, you know, gosh, in 2013, 2014, and we were at training camp and the world was, you know, back was normal. We would have a family barbecue, right, at training camp where your family would come, the family of the players would come, and you'd all enjoy a nice barbecue after practice together and then, you know, kind of go on your way. But I will never forget that my mom, I think it was either Lamar or someone, one of his family members, asked my mom to hold his baby while he, you know, he went to go get something. He had too much in his hands, and he asked my mom, we were sitting at the same table, "Hey, can you hold my kid for a sec?" And I'll never forget that. I walked back, and I was like, "Mom, whose baby is this? I mean, this is what happened in the 5 minutes I was gone?" She goes, "Oh, Lamar or whoever asked me to hold this baby." I was like, "Lamar who?" Lamar Houston. So I always think of Lamar with that. But before all that, that was at the tail end of Lamar's career in silver and black. Let's go back to the beginning and hear about how he became a member of the Oakland Raiders. And man, it was good to catch up with Lamar. He's become a lot more kind of involved in all of our stuff as of late, which is great. Obviously, his career is now over and he's into that next chapter. But it has been so much fun to reconnect with Lamar. It has been a blast to kind of hear what he's up to now. But it's also been so much fun to hear his old stories about the Al Davis Oakland Raiders. So with that said, he can do a lot better job telling the story than I can. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Lamar Houston's draft story. So before we get to that night for you in New York when you heard your name called in the second round, number 44 overall, what was the pre-draft process like for you when you decide, you know, hey, I've had a great career out of Texas here, but it's time to move on to that next step for me?
It was my senior year. Pre-draft was... it was all kind of a blast. You know, we went to the national championship. We played in that game, won the Big 12 championship. Then, you know, it was time to prepare for the draft. So it was all kind of an uphill battle for me. I was supposed to be like a fifth, sixth round draft pick. You know, I worked hard every day. I was going in there, you know, obviously stressing through my draft stresses, hoping that, you know, this little bit of training can make a big difference for me. And it ended up doing that, just that. So I was very excited about it.
And you had a pretty good combine from what I remember too, right? Didn't you perform pretty well in Indy?
Yeah, I did pretty decent, especially for being at 305. I ran the 4.8 and, you know, I hit my 30 bench and then my shuttle times are pretty low and I had a crazy vert for being so heavy.
Where did you think, like in your heart of hearts now, looking back, where did you think that you were going to get drafted? Did you think that realistically you were a second round guy? Did you think you were a third, fourth round guy? Like, where in your heart of hearts now? Because you can be honest with me, Lamar. Where did you think
honestly,
it was going
to
be?
Honestly, I thought I was going to sneak into the first round. The reason I say that is because I played in the same league as Gerald McCoy and Ndamukong Suh, and I dominated the whole year. So, you know, between the three of us, I had the best stats until Sue went into the Big 12 game and did his thing, obviously, as we all know. Guy had like 7 tackles for a loss. But up until that point, I was leading the Big 12 with 21 tackles for a loss and like 7 or 8 sacks. So, you know, I thought I would slip into the first round being that the number one and two D tackle in the country were in my league and I was outperforming them.
You know,
but from what I was being told, you know, I was supposed to be like a 4th, 5th, 6th round draft pick.
But, you know, you think about it now, Lamar, and the fact that you're even in the conversations with the Gerald McCoys and Dominican Sue's, I mean, that's not, those aren't two bad names to be associated with going through the pre-draft process. You know what I mean?
It's not. It's not. Not at all. They definitely helped shine light on my league and gave me more of an opportunity.
So going through the pre-draft process, and, you know, it feels like one of those things, Lamar, where it doesn't matter the year, it doesn't matter the team or the player. Everyone has these kind of, you know, they talk to all these coaches, they talk to these GM, these scouts, oh, we like you, we like you, we like you. You know, I think I might go here. Did you talk to the Raiders going into the pre or throughout the pre-draft process at all?
I actually heard nothing from them. I went to visit the Vikings. I went to visit the Redskins. Brian Rakpo's playing there, obviously, so there was interest there. And I think I might have visited someone else, but it definitely wasn't the Raiders. I didn't hear anything from the Raiders. It's like as far as like individual meetings at the combine. I met with Rex Ryan and his crew and some other people, but you know, I didn't actually meet with the Raiders at all.
So then we fast forward to draft, I guess technically draft weekend, because at this point it was still kind of, the NFL is so good, Lamar. They turn everything into a spectacle, right? Everything's got to be, it's got to be 9 days. You know, there's about 2 hours worth of picks, but we're going to blow it out and it's going to take 14 weeks to get there. So we move ahead to draft weekend, right? And you said that you thought in your heart of hearts you're a first round guy. So the first round's kind of coming and going. We're getting to the end of the first round. Where are you and what are you thinking as we kind of get to the latter part of that first round?
Well, I knew that the Redskins were really high on me, and they were down in that 30th pick area. They discussed me being there and playing nose tackle, maybe putting on a few more pounds, which I wasn't really all too thrilled about. So I thought maybe I'd slide down in there. I think also the Vikings had a last pick there or somewhere in the early 25th, 26th, or something like that. So I thought maybe one of those teams would grab me off the board, and that would be it.
And, you know, obviously you get to the end of the first round, and then you don't get selected. You're still on the board. So what's your kind of thought process like when you say, hey, it's not going to happen in the first round?
You know, I mean, I wasn't really disappointed because I wasn't supposed to be there. I was blessed to be there in the first place. So it was like, you know, hey, okay, well, they said I wasn't going to get drafted to the fifth round anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know, the second day was actually awesome. We got to go to the very, very top of the Empire State Building. Me, I think Jimmy Graham and somebody else. We took pictures up there, and you know, it's still up there in the Empire State Building. So it was actually a cool experience to stay behind.
So you're there on that second day. You get to do some sightseeing. So you literally went out. You're kind of living a tourist life, and then they expect you to kind of be back in it and be like, okay, where am I going to spend the next part of my professional career?
Yes, exactly. They tour you around the town just to make you sweat.
So we get to day two. We're in that evening. I imagine at this point you're thinking to yourself, I'm not going to be on the board very long, and you really weren't.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about draft night is my nephew, who's now like 14, 15, they dressed him up in a silver and black suit. And then I had, you know, did my first rookie purchase, and I had this silver and black watch. So we're just sitting there. And then, you know, my brother-in-law is a huge Raiders fan. He's been a Raiders fan all his life. You know, I was born in the Bay Area. I lived in the Bay Area until I was about 9 years old. And so I was sitting there, and we get the call from Cable, and it was just like, you know, we told my nephew not to wear those colors because we don't know who's going to pick us. And they didn't want my sister dressing them like that. And all of a sudden, you know, I was a Raider. It was crazy.
So Cable was the one that actually gave you that, you saw the number pop up on your phone. It was Tom Cable?
It was Tom Cable.
What was that conversation like? What does he say to you? He's like, hey, Lamar, it's Tom? Or how do you go from A to B?
You know, Cable's he's a more of an intense guy. He was like, hey, you ready to come here and play some ball? You know, bring us to the next level. Come here and play with the tenacity you play with and the fight you play with and the motor you play with. And I was like, you know, hell yeah. So, you know, and then I talked to Willie Brown, rest in peace, and, you know, Al D and those guys, rest in peace.
What did Mr. Davis say to you? Do you remember that part of the conversation?
Yeah, he's he was real sticky for me about one thing. he was like, I brought you here for one reason. He said, we saw you play Trent Williams in that four technique and you kicked his ass, and that's all I want for you. And that's it. I said, yes, sir. You got it.
it's incredible now, Lamar. And obviously I wasn't fortunate enough to really get to be here and work with Mr. Davis a lot. He had already passed by the time I started working here. But to hear all these stories from guys like you, guys that have been in the organization for a long, long time, it's the one thing that always stands out to me is it seems like he has such an incredible memory and such an incredible recall. And just hearing him say that, hey, we saw you again, so-and-so, like, it just seems like there was really nothing that got past him.
You know, it's even before, you know, his final days, that guy was sharp. And, you know, when I look back at it from a, you know, football standpoint, in my opinion, before recent years, the last time he was alive was the best time we were having. So, you know, before things changed, we were 8-8. We were one game out the playoffs. We won out December, went undefeated in December. We missed the playoffs on some type of fluke technicality. But in my honest opinion, that was really the best football the Raiders have played in a while until Gruden and them got there. So, you know, it's a testament to him and his football knowledge. You know, he actually knew the game. He knew how to use people. In my opinion, that was my best football in the NFL when he was alive. And, you know, I enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely seem to kind of live up to his expectations for you. So you get the call, right? You get off the phone. You're done talking to Cable and Mr. Davis and Willie. And then I watched the video actually last night, Lamar, of you walking onto the stage. You got the Raiders helmet in your hand. Like, what was that? I imagine that's a pretty kind of hectic couple minutes from getting the phone call to physically walking across the stage and then seeing Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's in tears, mother's in tears, you know, girlfriend's in tears, fathers, sisters, and, you know, it was just, it was a moment that, you know, I talked about as much as a child and, you know, dreamed for my whole life and worked for it all through college. So it was a dream come true to be able to walk across the stage with the commissioner and, you know, finally be brought into the NFL and to a platform like that. And just, you know, it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience that I'll probably never forget.
So what do you do after the draft? Because obviously people are waiting to see you get when your name is called, to wear the hat, to have that hug. But then what happens after?
I mean, it's a whirlwind. you leave the place you're training at. You go to a team. You know, back then we had mini camps for just rookies. So, you know, for me it was different because I got drafted with Rolando McClain. You know, I just lost the national championship to him, so there's a little animosity there. And
so let me ask you this:
we're both sitting in the room, like,
yeah. So Rolando goes in the first round, so he's the Raiders' first pick of that draft. You're the second draft pick. So is there a moment where you guys are literally sitting in the green room together?
No, you know what? Rolando stayed at home.
He's
more of a He's more of a laid back homebody kind of guy. He was at home when they gave him a call.
So what did you do in New York that night after you get drafted? Did you go to dinner or something? I assume there's got to be some sort of celebration, right?
Oh, I went out to dinner. I was out. They had like some nice venue rented, and we were just having a blast. You know, we were out just, you know, enjoying it. A little taste of the NFL life.
Yeah. I'm sure a fun night for the entire Houston family, not just Lamar. But
yeah, it was a great night.
Lamar, as we kind of look at the last chapter for you, why was it important? I know we talked to you about this at the time, but why was it important for you to retire as a member of the Raiders?
You know, like I said, I have a lot of respect for Al Davis, and I think he's a football genius. And some of the things he preached and stood by is what I firmly believe. And, you know, he thought that anybody could be a coach, but it takes real talent to be a player. And he was a player's coach and a player's owner, and he really cared about his players. And that's what sticks today. They are a family, and doesn't matter if you're current or past or future, you know, once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider. And I felt like when I was playing there, those were my best years that I enjoyed the most and had the most, the best fan base there's around in football. And I wanted to be that be my last memory of football and not anything else.
Yeah, and like you said, this place is a family, and I think it's one of the things that we're all really proud about is that we keep guys like you in the mix, guys that played here that enjoyed some really great years. And it doesn't matter if you're Lamar Houston or if you're a guy that played two games, right? You are always going to be welcome back in the family. You're going to always have a spot out here in Las Vegas, and I think that's pretty cool. So, Lamar, man, I appreciate your time today. Hopefully we can get you out to this beautiful stadium sooner than later. Hopefully you can be out there. You can be out there cheering, and you never know. Maybe you got a few more reps and at D end left.
I tell you what, I got about four downs, that's it. But you know what, I do take pride in being one of the last hand-picked draft class by Al Davis. And, you know, to me, that in itself is special and means a lot.
Absolutely. Lamar Houston, thank you, man. We appreciate you. We'll catch up with you soon, all right?
Raider Nation, baby.
And I could listen, as I said, as I told you guys, I could listen to those draft stories all day, all night, 365. And there it is. The draft story spectacular in the books. And I will say this. Now that you have a little background of the draft stories, we are going to have, if my math is correct, and no trades or anything like that happen, we will have 8 more draft stories to tell in just about a week. And shameless plug alert, don't forget, make sure over the next couple days, beginning on Thursday, really beginning on Wednesday, that you're locked in with us on Raiders.com, on the official Raiders app, and as I said, all of our digital properties so you can be up to date on everything that is going to be happening over the next few days in regards to the 2021 NFL Draft. It is going to be a blast. It is going to be exciting. It is becoming fast and furious. Shout out Paul Walker. May he rest in peace. And I cannot wait. So, for Eddie Pascal, our guest this week, Lamar Houston and Max Crosby, our friend Alexandra behind the glass, making me sound oh so much better than I actually do. Don't tell anyone, but she makes me sound really, really good. And everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps our little program get from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, it's draft time, and we will be back with you on Thursday for our usual episode, our first draft episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.